Morning, everyone. Leanne, you can have a 10-minute break, okay? But I need you back. Joelle, could you set a timer, please? How's everyone doing? Good. Tell you what, you've picked a good Sunday to be in church. You have. And I probably say that every Sunday, but today I actually mean it, all right? Picked a very good Sunday, and I just feel like the Lord wants to bless you today. He wants to bless you. In fact, I see Jesus here with a towel, with a bucket, with some soapy water. He wants to wash your feet today. So sit back and relax, because he's here to minister to you, to bless you, to refresh you. Yeah? So turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to get blessed today, all right? You're going to get blessed. And I know you're going to get blessed because I'm not preaching the sermon I had prepared. Isn't that exciting? Yes. I do respect the pulpit enough to prepare sermons. I don't just get up here and go, what do I want to talk about today? I just feel like that's asking for trouble. And I don't like it when people do that. You should respect the audience enough to do the hard work. And I've done that. I have forgotten my notes, but that's normal. Most sermons, I get up here and I've forgotten my notes. But the difference is today I actually looked for them. I searched everywhere in the house. I searched everywhere in the cars. Couldn't find them. I reckon God hid them. I reckon he did. I reckon an angel came in and stole them, because in the prayer meeting this morning, I just feel like the Lord said, don't preach that. We've got something that he wants to share today. And that's how I know you're going to get blessed. I'm very relaxed. Are you relaxed? You should be relaxed. I'm relaxed because just Jesus is in control, and he's won all the victory. So what is there to panic about? What is there to stress about? What is there to worry about? There's nothing to be anxious about. So just chill out, everyone. We're going to have Psalm 51 up on the screen. It's going to be in the nearly infallible version. That's the NIV. And you'll notice it's a little bit higgledy-piggledy, because I just asked them about 10 minutes ago if they could get Psalm 51 on the screen, okay? Let's read it together. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. This is a psalm from David. And context, most people believe this is the psalm that he wrote after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered. I don't know what you've done wrong, but I reckon David's probably done worse than you. I'm not sure. I mean, of all the Ten Commandments, I reckon those are the up there with the two worst that you could break in terms of their effect on people. He's committed adultery and murdered her husband. And so he's writing this psalm. The prophet Nathan has confronted him about it. He's felt conviction. He's writing this psalm. From verse 5, he says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with the hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I want you to have a look at verse 13. It says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. David's praying a prayer to God after he's committed some terrible sins. And it's taken 13 verses for David to actually talk about something he's going to do. Normally when you and I have wronged someone or we've done something wrong, we're asking forgiveness for God, there's a tendency, there's a trend, an expectation that we're going to pray prayers like this. God, I promise I'll never do it again. I promise I will change. If you forgive me, I'm going to give more money away. I won't miss church. I'll pray harder. I'll be different this time. If you could just give me one more chance, I will, I'll do, I will, I will. And yet when David's praying his prayer of forgiveness, he's spent 12 whole verses and hasn't mentioned anything he's going to do to make up for it. Instead, he has appealed to the goodness and the kindness and the mercies of God. He starts, have mercy on me. Why? Because I'm going to change? Why? Because I deserve it? Why? Because of all the things I've done for you in the past? Why? Because I promise I'll be different from now on? Because of my position? No, so have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. You see the difference? Have according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. God, you wash away all my iniquity. You cleanse me from my sin. Go down to verse 7. Cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot it. All these things are God's actions. God, you do this. God, you do that. Create in me a clean heart. Take not your spirit from me. You see, we get it all wrong. We get it all wrong. We come with this religious mindset that if something has been done, then a penalty must be paid. Recompense. Some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'll get it one day. Well, we've got to make it right. We've got to put everything back in place. We've got to put everything back in order. We've got to change and do this. And then if we do that, then God, then you can wash me clean. Then you can, take not your spirit from me. Then you can make me white as snow. But that's not the way my Bible teaches it. My Bible teaches is that whilst you were still sinners, Christ died for you. That's, someone might die for a good man, but Christ, he died for sinners like you and I. And he didn't wait for you to change everything. He didn't wait for you to become good enough. He didn't wait for you to get it right. And he doesn't need you to promise that you're always going to be right and get it right. He died for you anyway. And it's according to his great compassion. It's according to his kindness and his goodness, his mercy, his grace that you and I, hello, are made right. So we have a religious mindset that sneaks into our thinking all the time. See, religion is our attempt to control God. And it sneaks into us all the time, the way we think, the way we do things. Sometimes we treat the Bible like it's a user guide, like it's a procedures manual. If I do this, I know I'm going to get that, right? And that's the way most religions work. You've got an issue, you've got something you want, just do this, that's going to happen. Plug in these inputs, you'll get those outputs. The problem is God's not a manual, he's not a procedure, he's a person. And you can't control God with your actions. And it sneaks into our thinking all the time. Sometimes it sneaks into our thinking in worship. God, if I sing and I shout and I lift my hands, your presence will be here. No. No. If I pray this prayer, that person will be healed. The Bible says lay hands on the sick. So if I just lay hands on the sick, they have to be healed. You hear what I'm saying? If I kneel down, God will hear my prayer. If I lay on my face, God will know. Hey, all those things are great. But sometimes they're done with a, this is what I have to do to get a response. This is my way of the inputs to get the output. That's actually religion. See, worship is great. I love worship. But I don't worship to get into the presence of God. I worship because I'm in the presence of God, right? Worship is not my way of earning the right of entry. The Bible says that when Jesus died, that curtain was torn. If I'm worshiping to earn the right, it's like I'm trying to tear this imaginary curtain in my mind. There's the only place it exists is here. He's already here. The Bible says we enter his courts with praise, his gates with thanksgiving. That's not the way I enter. I'm singing and I'm praising because it's just so easy to be in here, right? I'm not worshiping frantically, anxiously, to work my way or earn my way in there. You go back and read the book of Revelation, and it's got those beasts that are worshiping, and it's got the elders that are around the throne and they're casting their crowns down. Guess what? They're all already in the presence of God. None of them are outside the throne room worshiping, trying to get in. They're inside and they're worshiping. That's what worshiping, you're inside, you're worshiping. You know, I was reminded of Elijah versus the prophets at Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal. What do those prophets do? Let me just bring this up. Hang on a second. This is in 1 Kings. Those prophets, this is what they tried to do to get their God's attention. It says they shouted louder. They slashed themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed. Whose blood? Their blood flowed. I'm so thankful it's not my blood that flows, right? His blood has flowed, yeah? It says midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying. But there was no response and no one answered. Elijah's response, I don't see him dancing around like a crazy person trying to get God's attention. I don't see him cutting himself and bending over backwards. And I'm not against dancing. I love dancing when no one's watching. All right, okay. In fact, no, take that back. I love dancing when my kids are watching. Every dad needs to dance in front of their kids. They love it. They pretend they don't, but they love it. But if I'm dancing, it's not to get God's attention, and I'm not dancing frantically. I'm dancing because I'm in the throne room. You with me? I'm dancing because the way is so easy. I'm not shouting to get his attention. I'm shouting shouts of joy. I'm shouting shouts of victory. You hear what I'm saying this morning? See, worship is not the ticket to the throne room of God. Faith is. And the reason we worship is an expression of our faith. You hear what I'm saying? Laying hands on the sick is not the formula for the sick being healed. Faith is what sees people healed of their sickness. It's just that laying hands is the point of faith sometimes. It's the action, the expression of our faith. Worship is not the way in, it's the expression of my faith. And some people can worship and do all these things and they think that's the way and I've ticked that off and I've done that checklist, so God must be here now. Well, as soon as I walk into them, I believe he's here. I just enter his presence by faith. Not in the faith in the things that I'm going to do, but faith in the things he's already done. And he's already done it, I believe it, I'm there. It's easy. That's why I'm relaxed. I don't sound relaxed, do I? I'm getting a bit worked up. I promise. Deep down, I'm relaxed. So David gets all the way to verse 13. What right, put yourself in David's mind, the things that he has done. How dare he even approach God? How dare he even have the name of God on his lips? Who does he think he is after the things he's done? To come and pray prayers and think God's going to hear a word he's going to say. Well, David's different to you and I. David knows the nature of God. He knows the character of God. He knows his prayers are going to be welcome, not because he's promising all these things he's going to do, but because he knows God's goodness, God's grace, God's kindness, and his compassion. And by faith, he appeals to those things and he speaks of those things. And so he knows his prayers will be heard because he's not looking here, he's looking up there at him. He even says it himself later on. Verse 16, he says, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it, and you do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." What a thing to say for someone in his position who is under the law. I mean, the whole system is built on sacrifice and burnt offerings, right? If you've done something wrong, offer the correct sacrifice, yeah? Take the correct action, and God can overlook it. God can deal with it. But for somehow, David's seen through that. David's seen through all that, and he knows the nature of God, and he says, "I actually know that I'm supposed to go and offer these bulls, and I'm supposed to go and do this, and I'm supposed to go and do that. But let's be honest, God. Let's be honest. That's not what you want. I could do it out of obligation and have faith in my action, but let's be honest. What's real is that I'm only here because you're good and you're kind. And sometimes in our efforts to make ourselves good enough, and our efforts to control God, and our efforts to put him in this box of procedures and manuals and user guides, that's what we do. We look down and we think, what have I got to do to make it right? I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do that. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Forgiveness comes by faith. Hey, this morning, I don't know if there's any shame or guilt walking on your life, or what's happening, or what you're not proud of. Let me tell you this morning, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. God's not waiting for you to make this change and make that change and do this and do that. You are forgiven. By faith, receive it. By faith, receive it. He's not waiting for you to bawl your eyes out and promise you'll change. Receive it. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. His blood was spilt. His body was broken. That sin has been paid for. I'm forgiven. You might still feel those things, feel regret, feel shame. Continue to put your faith in the word and declare the word. Those feelings will catch up. But they're not going to catch up while you're looking down, trying to deal with it yourself. You might need healing this morning. Sometimes when we need healing, we're just like, God, tell me what to do. What have I got to do? Have I got to pray with one hand in the air? Do I need to stand on my head, Lord? What have I got to do, God? What have I got to do? Just, no, you're healed. By your stripes, by his stripes, you are healed. You are healed. By faith, you are healed. There's no formula. There's no steps, manual you've got to follow. By faith, that sickness, that disease has been dealt with. You might need victory or breakthrough in a certain area of your life. It could be your business, it could be your marriage, whatever it is. It could be financial. You might need this victory and this breakthrough. And sometimes we are so focused on ourselves in those times. Well, what am I doing wrong? What have I got to change? You know, if I pray this just at half an hour longer, have I got to fast and pray? Have I got to do this? It's got to do that. Maybe God will lead you into all those things, but it won't come because you're desperately looking down, frantically searching for an answer, trying to cut yourself and shout and scream, trying to control God's answer. It doesn't happen like that. Breakthrough comes by faith. Breakthrough comes by faith in him. So just relax. You know, sometimes we preach, you know, God sent the musicians and the singers out first in the battle, and it's true. They had to shout at the walls of Jericho, then the walls come down. And we thought, well, that's the formula. That's what I got to do. I read it there, so that's what I've got to do. No, the walls came down by faith. The victories were won by faith. Not faith in their action, but faith in God. Sometimes there does come a moment where you have to take an action, but it's out of obedience. Faith. And that action just becomes the expression of a faith that already exists in your heart. Is this making sense? Leanne, that's been 15 minutes. What's going on? Joelle, did you set a timer? The whole team. Well, Pilly, can you have a chat to them, please? Can I have the whole team? Is that okay? Yeah. Thank you. There is nothing you can do that will guarantee the outcome you want. That's what we'd like, isn't it? We'd like it all just written down in black and white. I'm the kind of practical person who thinks like that. I like, just tell me what I've got to do. Tell me what has to happen here. If I've got to lift two hands in worship, I'll lift two. If I've just got to sing a little bit louder, I'll just sing a little bit louder. If I have to pray for 10 minutes more a day, if that's what's needed, that's just tell me what I've got to do. The problem with that is I'm looking at the wrong person. And the more I look at the wrong person, the more anxious I get, the more confused I get, the more desperate I become, the more things I try. And I wonder, why is nothing changing? Why am I not getting the answers that I need? Because I'm continuing to look at the wrong person. Well, this morning, God wants you to get your eyes off all those things and have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Believe. With your eyes on Him, you'll end up taking the right step at the appropriate time. You'll do the right thing when it's needed. Because your eyes are just, you can see it. It's there. He's a person. He's not to be controlled. He's not to be put in a box. He wants relationship. He wants belief. He wants hand in hand, walking these things together as co-laborers. I get the feeling sometimes, and I struggle with this sometimes too. Sometimes I feel that when we're worshiping, we feel like we're worshiping from the outside, trying to get in. Has anybody ever felt like that before? God's in there somewhere. If I just hit the right note, eventually He'll let me in. This morning, God wants to change that mindset. He wants to break that lie. I feel like some of us this morning, we've got an issue, whether it's health or whatever it is, job related, and we feel like, just in the same way we're worshiping from the outside, we're praying from a place of confusion. Praying from a place of, what am I doing wrong? Praying from a place of searching, yeah? Where to, where this? And it's natural for those questions to be in your mind. Instead of praying from a place of, God's got this, just relax, calm down. It's all good. You know, when Jesus performed His miracles, I never ever see Him go, okay, guys, little Annie over here is sick. I just need you all to worship for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, we've got to get the presence of God here. Just shout a bit louder, everyone. scream my name a bit louder. Dance. Okay, now dance. Everyone dance. Okay, you have your faith. You're nearly there. All right, now I'll heal her. Does anyone see that? Sometimes he asks some people to do some weird things. Don't put mud on your eyes. You know? Go and, you know, break that bread and hand it out. That's some weird things, but it's never what you think. It never really repeats anything twice. You know what I mean? It comes from that, victory is already there. He's already there. He already knows what's going to happen. Let's just make this happen. Yeah? You know, sometimes I feel like we try and control him a little bit. Put him in this box and that box. Make him do this, make him do that. So just chill, just relax. When I sing, I'm not trying to get him to do anything. I'm just singing. I like singing. I just enjoy it. No one else enjoys it when I sing, but I enjoy it. When I pray, I'm not trying to twist his arm. I pray God, I want to enjoy it. Just have fun. There are moments I might be burdened by the Spirit to pray intensely about something, but I'm not trying to conjure it or make it happen or whatever. I'm just enjoying it. It's faith. I'm in his presence. He's done all the hard work. Why would I be trying to do hard work he's already done? Doesn't make any sense. I hope that's making sense to you. God wants to bless you today. He wants to wash your feet. And I feel like God's saying he wants to speak words to you that are going to build you up today and encourage you today. See, a lot of his blessing comes in the form of what he says and what he speaks. And I'll finish with this. As we're worshiping, I saw Gideon. You know, Gideon was alive in a time of trouble. The enemies were much bigger and stronger than Israel at the time. And when we find Gideon, you know, he's hiding and he sees himself as the least. God's answer was to appear and not speak to the situation, and not to drive the enemies away or to change anything about his outside circumstance. But God's response was to come to Gideon and to say, "Hey, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor." That's the last time God really appears in there. I mean, Gideon does most of the, I don't see the angel of the Lord appearing at the battle. I don't see the angel of the Lord carrying one of the torches or slaying any enemies. Jesus's response to that situation was to come and just talk to Gideon. Wash his feet, bless him, encourage him, speak the words of truth. Gideon, you see yourself as the least, but just want you to know you are a mighty man of valor. Go. Yeah, go in the authority you have. Go in the victory you have. That was his response. I'm done. Rest is yours now, Gideon. And Gideon becomes this hiding, you know, wimpy sook like the rest of us, hiding away. And guess what? He becomes the mighty man of valor. And I feel like God is saying this morning, hey, you got your eyes on all these circumstances, all these problems, all these things, and you think you're praying to me to change that and do this and do that. He says, I'm not talking to those things, I'm talking to you. I've come with a towel, I've come with my bucket, I'm going to wash your feet, I'm going to speak words of affirmation, I'm going to build you up. That's what you need. Amen. If you want those words this morning, stand to your feet. And we're just going to ask Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning. Nothing else is required of us but to believe. And this morning, like David, we appeal to your goodness, your graciousness. We appeal to your completed work. And we receive your words of affirmation, your words of destiny. I get the word power. God wants to tell some people this morning that he's placed much power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, he has placed in you. Why call yourself powerless? Why call yourself less? Why think of yourself as little when he calls you powerful and he calls you strong? Change your confession this morning. Need to say, I can hear the voice of God. Say, I can hear the voice of God. I can hear the voice of God. One of the barriers for some of you is you feel like you've needed to earn the voice of God. That you feel like he's up there with his arms folded, waiting for you to be good enough and to pray long enough before he'll speak to you. Rubbish. It's a lie. We reject that and rebuke that. Hallelujah. Thank you that your voice is close today. It's in my ear today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can hear the voice of God.